Ian, good morning.
Good morning, mate.
Thanks very much for joining us on the program.
It's a pleasure.
Now, as I mentioned, some of these areas, we are seeing the ozone layer repair itself. Some areas we aren't. Where are these layers where are these areas where the ozone layer does not seem to be doing the job of repairing itself as other areas can?
Well, unfortunately, it's where nearly everybody lives. Basically, the Montreal Protocol has dramatically reduced the rate of putting the ozone-depleting chemicals into the atmosphere. It still hasn't phased them out completely. It's about 80% removed, but there's still more should be done in that area. But what the science is now showing is that the ozone layer is repairing over the polar regions, which is great if you're a penguin or a polar bear. But unfortunately, it's not repairing over the areas from 60 degrees north to 60 degrees south, basically everywhere except the Arctic and the Antarctic. So where most people are living, we're being exposed to more ultraviolet than we would if the ozone layer had fully repaired.
You know, obviously it's the holes over the polar regions that were the famous ones that really brought people's attentions to the issue of holes being created in the ozone layer itself. I think for a lot of people thought, you know, once that hole was there, it was there to stay and there was really nothing that could be done about it. How do we actually see the ozone layer repair itself?
Well, it's important to remember that the ozone layer is something that's constantly changing. Basically, the atmosphere is about 20% oxygen. And in the upper atmosphere, that oxygen gets broken up by the intense ultraviolet radiation from the sun and reassembles into molecules of ozone. An ozone molecule basically is three oxygen atoms where normal oxygen is two. And that's unstable, and the ozone molecules decay naturally and go back to oxygen. So what we call the ozone layer is basically the balance between ozone being created by ultraviolet radiation and the ozone naturally decaying. Now, when we released large quantities of chlorofluorocarbons into the atmosphere, they had the effect of breaking down ozone molecules. So it's a bit like saying if you imagine a sink or a bathtub with the plug out and water flowing in, you get a level of water which is a balance between the water flowing in and the water flowing out.
Mm.
If you were then to drill a second hole so that the water flowed out faster, the level would drop. And basically what we did was drilled a second hole into the ozone layer by releasing all these chemicals so that the rate at which the ozone broke down was accelerated. And that meant that the layer thinned, and it was most dramatically evident in the polar regions, which was the famous ozone hole. The politicians really didn't worry when there was just an ozone hole, because all it meant was that penguins were being irradiated. But subsequently, the science showed that the entire ozone layer was thinning. So there was less ozone to protect us in all the places where people live. And that was what sparked the move to the Montreal Protocol and agreement to phase out the ozone-depleting substances. Now, what this science shows is that we haven't gone far enough phasing them out. And there's probably still some things we don't understand about the atmospheric chemistry. And it's basically a warning that we're still not as knowledgeable as we need to be about natural systems. And we should be a lot more careful about dumping large quantities of chemicals into the atmosphere or the water.
I don't know. I've seen enough creature features to think irradiated penguin sounds like a fairly key concern to me. But looking at this situation that we do have in hand, as we say, the polar regions ones are the famous ones. They're repairing themselves. But we still see overpopulated areas, the layers not repairing themselves. So obviously people are being put at risk. We've still got these thin areas of ozone over places where there are a great deal of people gathered. Do scientists have real theories as to why these areas of the ozone are struggling to repair themselves, you know, directly above people?
No, and what this new paper says is that we need to do a bit more research to figure out what's going on. But scientists thought 50 years ago when the first papers were published about ozone depletion that they understood the atmospheric chemistry. It's now clear that it's a bit more complicated than that. So in the short term, the two things we should be doing is warning people to continue to abide by the slip, slop, slap regime. You know, don't go out and irradiate yourself in the sun, particularly between 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And in the meantime, we should be encouraging the atmospheric scientists to roll up their sleeves and have a harder look at what's actually going on.
Well, Ian, thank you very much. Really do appreciate you taking the time to have a bit of a chat with us about this one.
Pleasure talking to you, mate.